This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show. The Tom Bernard Morning Show. Streamed every morning on the Tom Bernard Show app and anytime on demand wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever talked to teenagers?
No.
I mean, they're amazing, and I actually, that's one of my favorite ages. I love that age. But when you talk to one who doesn't know you, you get nothing. You just they're in their own head. We actually, there was a bunch of Girl Scouts at an event I was at for Secondhand Hounds, and they were raising money for Secondhand Hounds. I was like, tell me about your products. And they're like, we made these bracelets to raise money. And they were Girl Scouts. And I was like, I was starting to feel insecure. I was like, is my outfit ugly? Is my hair ugly? Like, what? Do they hate me? And I'm like, oh no, they're teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they are.
Isn't it amazing how they make you feel like insecure about yourself? Oh. You're like, oh my gosh.
The neighbor McKenna, her and I have the same birthday. She just turned 15. She just turned 15. And she said to me, that's my favorite shirt you own. And I thought to myself, does she hate all my other shirts?
Yeah.
Probably, right?
It's like,
good God.
So now, if I get the choice, I always grab that one. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite shirt you own.
I had that happen, too, recently. My friend's daughter, I invited her to something because when I need a plus one, she's at the right age to take her to fun things. And she didn't text me back. And I thought, oh, my gosh, have I hit that age where I'm just, like, so uncool? I can't even take her to a Hollywood event. And then I saw her mom at a workout class, and she just said, oh, Maddie's phone, like, broke, and it's been out of service for 3 days. And here I am feeling super insecure that I was no longer cool for her to text me back.
Oh, I mean, Rudy's daughter, I made her a couple bracelets for her birthday, wrote thank you, and I wrote like a paragraph back, and I go, that's too much. Oh, no. That's mortified. Oh, she hates me.
So on her birthday on Tuesday, I said, hey, by the way, did you text Brittany thank you? And she was like, yeah, and it was the first time they had ever had a communication together. And my daughter went, yeah. I said, well, did Brittany say anything back? And all she did was hold up her phone and then scroll.
Oh,
and
God,
just kept scrolling. I was like, did you read all that? She's like, uh-huh. I was like, I'd have been done 3 sentences in. No, it's too much.
Did you get a response, Britt?
Yeah, it was fine. But I was like, after I wrote, because I was about to jump into a tennis game, so I wanted to get it all out because I didn't want her to feel vulnerable like she made me feel. But she wrote back. She was lovely. But even when I was writing, I was like, this is, oh no. After I pushed enter, I was like, she asked me what her favorite song was, and I wanted to give her options. I spiraled. I'm so sorry.
And everyone's a boomer to someone who's a teenager, so she's like, oh, boomer.
I just want her to think I'm cool. It's a disease I have. Does she want to see puppies? I'll bring her to the rescue. What does she want from me? Mm-hmm. I will do it.
I do hate the fact that everybody makes fun of boomers. It drives me insane that it's like a millennial will say, like, okay, boomer, okay. It's like, well, if it wasn't for boomers, like, we wouldn't have bridges and roads, you idiots.
That's correct.
Like, why are you guys? And don't forget, I don't know if you know this, life is cyclical. One day millennials will be boomers. Yep. So stop making fun
of
them.
We'll be going millennials.
Yeah.
But the only problem we have, of course, is that we came along right after the Greatest Generation, and there's a hell of a lot. I'm sorry, but you do have a lot of pressure on you. Because that Greatest Generation, my parents gave their lives. My parents didn't give their lives, but friends of my parents, all the rest in World War II. To follow that generation is a bitch. So don't be too hard on the boomers is all I'm saying.
We don't even know if there's going to be an Earth because New York right now is so smoking, you can't even breathe there.
I understand it's now Philadelphia is being affected by it. A lot of places being affected
probably
by it.
Moving down. I know they canceled several Broadway shows. Because the performers couldn't even sing because the smoke was coming into the theater.
Really?
I mean, it's bad. Yeah. And we endure this a lot. We have fire season here in Los Angeles. And to see people raw dogging it out in Manhattan with no mask is literally shocking to me.
God, because you can't even see across the street on camera.
You can't, and the air is carcinogenic. You cannot be doing this. And you know, people are like, let me go out and jog. I'm like, why are you jogging in this? And the migraines you will get from this type of level of smoke in the air, they're excruciating. So you just got to stay inside. Or if you're going out, if you have to go out, you at least need like a KN95 mask, the minimum.
I'm sorry, but I was not big on the mask. I wore my mask for 2 years, even though I knew it didn't do a damn thing. And it turned out it didn't do a damn thing. So would those masks even keep that smoke out?
They will keep some out. They will help.
Some, yeah, okay.
I mean, it's not going
to
be.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, unless you're going to wear like one of those military grade masks.
Yeah,
that's the only thing that's really going to protect you. But if you have to go out and all you have is a KN95, don't go out with a surgical mask. That'll do nothing for you.
It does nothing. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just saying this from, we've had horrible fire seasons over the years. Stay inside, honestly.
That's what they said on the national news last night. It says, don't go outside. You want an answer to this? Do not go outside.
Don't go inside. Don't go outside. Run your air filters nonstop. Seal up your doors and your windows. I mean, it's tough.
Was it lightning that started this fire up in Canada?
I don't know.
I don't know how the fire started. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's extensive, though. And
yeah,
it's really talking. And it's been going on for weeks and weeks. And I think it just didn't hit national news until the smoke started coming down toward the U.S.
The Maple Leafs lost in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
It.
Yeah.
They were so pissed off, they started on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have no idea what started that fire up there, but I'm assuming it probably was lightning or something like that. I'm assuming, but who the hell knows?
I don't know. It can be arson. We had one here in California that was started by a gender reveal party.
Yeah.
Sorry. But it was a really great party, and we just wanted to figure it out.
You burned the entire forest down. Look, it's a boy or a girl.
Burned people's homes down, killed a man.
Yeah.
The couple was actually convicted. They're in prison, and then they're on the hook for millions of dollars, which, of course, you know.
What did they do?
They probably don't have the means to pay back.
What started the fire? I don't get it. A gender reveal, I thought, was you shot off a pink or blue cannon or something.
It depends on what you use, but it was a smoke cannon, and it caught fire and spread so rapidly within a matter of minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Because when it's windy, I mean, you just have to be smart about this. I'm like, do a cake if you're going to do gender reveal. Like, go and get a bunch of cupcakes.
Cake
everyone
be
bite
good.
Into it. Call
Actually,
it a day.
You know, when my daughter and her husband were about to have their first baby, you know, they did the gender reveal.
I know. It was so cool.
They turned on their Christmas tree.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
It was a Christmas tree, and they turned and the lights came on pink, and I went, oh, damn it. I was hoping it would be a boy, Fawn.
I was like, yes.
Fawn,
yes.
I wanted a boy. I didn't want you.
It was so special. It was so fun.
It was a gender reveal
on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'm going to be FaceTiming in and watching it, but it's just funny. Gender reveals, we don't really do them in California, but she's in Georgia, so it's a big, to-do, but
Georgia.
She's like, are you going to fly in? I was like, no, but I'll FaceTime in,
and that seems appropriate. We just did a big balloon pop, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was and we let the girl I nannied, she's a teenager, and so we let her, she's the only one who had the information, and she was in charge of doing all the stuff, so for a while, for like one whole week, she was the only one that knew the gender, and she was 13 at the time. So it was so funny where she's like, I know Brittany, and I can't talk to you, so we've just avoided each other.
I feel like I can't even look at you.
I know.
Look how far medicine's come, though. I mean, seriously. Because back when I was born, my name is Thomas because it means twin.
Yeah.
Because they thought I was such a big, large child that they thought I was twins. That's why my name is Thomas. So nice gender reveal back in those days. Huh? They didn't even have them.
That's so wild. And that is exciting. Did you guys find out Kinley's gender?
I tell people this all the time when they ask about gender. I'm like, listen, everything is on the internet nowadays. There's no secrets. Every person that you like, every celebrity, every band, you can find out all that information. The only thing that can be kept secret is the gender of your baby if you choose to keep it.
Yep.
There's nothing better than when that baby is born. When my daughter came out onto this planet and the doctor went, does dad want to call it? And they turned the baby around and I said, it's a girl. There's no better feeling than that. To just have somebody hand you a picture and go, it's a boy.
Yeah.
No, who cares?
That
so
is
what?
Exciting.
And the thing, and I hate the excuse where people go, well, what happens with our friends? I mean, they have to know if they should buy something for a boy or a girl. I'm like, there's a Target on every corner. If they can't stop by and get an LGBTQ onesie for our kid.
With a dick on it.
Yes.
Live, laugh, lesbo, right?
Within the first 3 days, they're not our friends. So I always tell everybody, don't find out. It's a great, that
it
moment
is.
When that baby pops out and you find out if it's a boy or a girl, there's nothing that beats
That's
it.
That's got to be really exciting.
What happened with Andy? We had no idea Andy was a boy.
Yeah.
Had no clue he was a boy. But
they
then
told
Alex,
my mom
course,
I was a boy.
Oh, they did? So they were right.
My name was Eric.
Eric, the reporter.
Which is now my brother, because he got the name. It got passed down to him.
So you didn't know if Andy was going to be a boy,
no,
but
not
you knew
until he was
did
born.
You knew Alex's?
Yeah, because she had health problems.
Oh.
Typical. And typical was, Alex complaining about something, you know.
Exactly.
You know.
Getting you into that appointment every week.
Yeah, that's the only reason we knew she was a girl, because she had some health complications. But God, thank God she got through them and got two healthy kids. And, well, could you call Andy healthy? Because he's always crabby. Is that healthy?
Yeah, and he literally is not always healthy.
He, honest to God, is the most intolerant young man I've ever seen. That's not a very good point you're making. I'm like, oh, God, settle down, will you?
Rudy, when they showed you the baby, was there any part of you where you're like, girl? Like, because things are a little, no, not because of what the baby looked like, but things are a little chaotic in that moment. I mean, I had foster puppies, and I would pick them up and go, what is this? Was there a half second where you go,
I said, this is no joke. I was sobbing so hard that when they turned the baby around, she said, does Dad want to call it? And I looked down and I was crying so hard. I said, I don't know what that is.
I have no clue. I would too. I'm not trying to. It's just a lot of things are going on. There's attachments here and there. I would have. And you're a mess of a person. Your eyes are all watery.
Yeah.
I would have been like, can you write it in a note so I can say it?
Yeah, and I remember the doctor kind of laughed, and she goes, how'd you make this thing?
There you go. There you have it.
That's amazing.
All right, young lady, we got to hit the road, but I think your weekend's going to... No, it's going to be a good weekend, isn't it?
I hope so.
I mean, for you.
One more day, right? Today's Thursday, isn't it?
No, that's true. Yeah. I keep thinking it's Friday today, and I don't know why.
I was like, I think I'm going to be here tomorrow.
No, we're getting rid of you.
But our weekends start Friday, Kristen, so we mentally won't be here. I mean, we'll physically be here, but I'm never actually here, so don't worry about it.
I'm still processing Vanderpump Rules from last night, so
girl,
there you go.
Girl, same.
Oh, my God.
That's all we're going to say.
Thank God we blew right past that.
Well, Tom, the good news is that this was like the finale. Next week is just like unaired footage, which is it's nothing burger, but you at least have a break until season 11 premieres.
Well, what about the Kardashians?
We'll work on that
one. God, get away from me. All right, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Bye, everyone.
Take a break. Be right back. KSTP Channel 5's Chris Eggert is up next.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show. Listen live at TomBernardShow.com or on the Tom Bernard Show app.
There's a guy named Tom Cross who likes to do kite things. Tom takes the phrase, go fly a kite, to an extreme, and for years goes all over the country in search of great kite flying events. Lincoln City, Oregon comes to mind, with Chinook winds and 7 miles of pristine beach that draws folks from all over North America for the best kite flying conditions in the world. Tom brings a little Minnesota with him when he goes to Lincoln City in his new Forest River RV Rockwood Roo, 19 expandable trailer, of course, that he hauls from Niemeyer Trailer Sales in Albertville and Elk Newmarket, Minnesota. Niemeyer Trailer Sales is the only place Tom would prepare his next kite flight. Solar panels, full bath, exterior griddle, double door refrigerator, queen beds, and sleeps six every night in the RV Rockwood from the place that is your family-owned guide to RV trailers and truck accessories since 1965. This is Tom. Visit my friends at Niemeyer Trailer Sales and take your passion on the road. Niemeyer Trailer Sales. Go to NIEMEYERS.com. Niemeyer Trailer Sale.
9 rounds of golf for $90?
Yep, the Minnesota Golf Passport is back and available now at TomBernardShow.com. As a Golf Passport cardholder, you're entitled to 9 18-hole rounds of golf for just one low price of $90. Supplies are limited, so just go to TomBernardShow.com and type keyword passport. A $300 golf value for just
$90?
Now you got it. TomBernardShow.com. Keyword, passport.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Hey, welcome. I'm Tom Bernard. We're here with Chris Eggert and Rudy. Welcome, gentlemen.
What's up?
Nothing. We all ran around and took a bathroom break, so.
Yeah, and we walked into the bathroom. I don't know if you guys have ever worked in a building where the stalls of the bathroom are always occupied.
No.
There is always, there is two stalls in the men's bathroom on this floor, and every time you walk in there, there are two dudes that are always sitting in there, stinking up the joint, not moving. I don't know if everybody's doing the Wordle or if they're playing, words with friends with one another, but every time you walk in there, one of those stalls is always occupied, and I'm standing at the urinal, and I hear Tom behind me, and I'm like, hey, man, we got a couple extra minutes, so, and he's like, I gotta go run down to the other bathroom.
Yeah.
I have a theory. Oh, go ahead, Brittany.
No, you, Chris.
I have a theory about that. I feel people will stay in there until they think the coast is clear, and then they'll walk out and wash their hands and all that. Like mm-hmm. there's some kind of shame in
pooping.
Being in there.
Yeah, making noise. Like, it's terrifying to make noise.
Yeah. There's a character from the movie American Pie that they call Shit Break.
Yeah.
Because he has to go home to use the bathroom. I've never yep. identified with a character of a movie more where I'd be at high school and I'm like, listen, I can't wait to become a junior because you can leave the campus and I would run home, grab a quick bite to eat, use the bathroom. I hate it. I hate being in a stall next to people. I hate the fact that the dividers don't go all the way to the floor. I want privacy. Like,
so
play some Enya in there, would you? I want a little bit of essential oils burning.
Right.
I don't want all of the, it feels just so open and not private at all.
We could make $1 million if we made a bathroom soundtrack that was just like not exactly poopy noises, but things that hid poopy noise as well. Just like pure chaos, maybe jazz.
Yeah.
Maybe jazz would be the thing.
Just running water, the sound of running water in the speakers. Because, Tom, I was talking about how every time we go into that bathroom, the stalls are always occupied, and there's two dudes that are just completely clearing out the joint.
That's a fact.
It's awful.
What just happened to me has never happened to me before in my life. I will tell you this. I go down to the men's room, and all three, the urinal and both stalls, are taken. And so I said, no big deal. I'll just go around the other side of the building, which is about 2.5-3 city blocks.
Yeah.
It is that far.
It's very far.
Yeah.
Got over there, both stalls and the urinal were taken. I had to wait anyway on the other side of the world.
That's terrible. I also think that there are people that have jobs here that don't get to use their phones, and that's the only time. Mm-hmm. I had a job like that where you couldn't bring your phone out, and that was like such a nice relief is to go on your phone.
How did you know that? Because that's one of the problems I had. There was a guy on his phone in one of the stalls, and I'm not kidding you, it was, you tell that son of a bitch. I'm like, Jesus.
And not to make things worse, but I think there's three women on this floor in total.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
I got to bring my dog Murphy into the bathroom, and we didn't see a soul.
See?
So.
Yeah. Murph went in the bathroom. Yeah. It's all true. So that's it for the pee and poop news. What else you got, Chris?
That's the update.
Well, I want to double down on this because
nice.
I have a take on this. It some might find controversial. When you're in there taking a dump, get the frick off your phone. Like, get in there
agree.
And get out.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I don't read when I'm on the pot. I don't look at my phone. Like, who wants to sit there in your own smell and
not me.
Have a freaking half hour break, just get out and then get out of there.
Even at home, you don't take your time?
No, it's not a celebration.
I agree with you. I get in and out fast as I can.
I like taking my time. I like making it an event. It's the only time sometimes Yeah. It's the only time sometimes I'm alone, and that is precious to me. And so I find myself just sitting in there staring at the abyss.
Puts down a picnic blanket and puts on some Teddy Pendergrass.
Sure.
I do think there's a new level of low if you consume food while pooping. Which is something I have.
Why would you ever do that? Oh, Jesus.
By accident. There's times in my life where you just, like, are eating and you just jump in and you're like, whoa, these are two conflicting things I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't notice you were eating when you sat down to crap.
It's like a very dark moment.
What in the hell is wrong with you?
Just being honest.
What are you eating?
It was definitely those pretzels that they have, those peanut butter pretzels they have from Costco, because I grab handfuls of those all the time in the big container.
I need to yell at one of you three, because it was one of you three yesterday that brought up caramel M&Ms.
You brought it up.
No, somebody else brought it up for
you. 1,000% Yeah,
it's your fault.
You said, are caramel M&Ms good?
Yeah, that's right. I asked. That's right. I asked the question.
1,000%
I went to Lunds and Byerly's at 50th in France.
Did you get a pack?
And it's gone already. I ate an entire, not the little.
Oh, you can't just eat. You have to eat the whole
thing. You have to eat the whole damn thing.
You can't physically stop.
Oh, my God, those are good. Them are good, as they used to say.
On Father's Day or any event that is a, you know, as a present, I always get my husband, like, the family sharing one, and we finish that thing immediately.
Really good for your health to be eating.
Not a problem there.
I ate the whole damn bag.
It's so good.
It's really good. Caramel M&Ms, Chris.
They're good. Yeah, I don't have it. I don't try not to have that crap around the house, because if it's there, you're just going to eat it.
I know. That's how I am.
And I don't know what's been going on lately, but I've had a, like, super, I don't generally have a sweet tooth, but it's like when there's nothing around, I'm like a freaking addict looking for a hit and I can't find anything. And you're like,
will you MacGyver yourself something?
Yeah, like, well, oh, look, it's a lollipop in the bottom of the drawer from 15 years ago. Yeah, that'll work. Unwrap it. And
we had leftover Dairy Queen cake for my daughter's birthday party.
Love it.
And I Sunday night, I opened up the freezer, and there was one slice in there. And I'm like, okay, this is the downstairs freezer. Nobody goes into it. So Monday after the show, I walk downstairs. I open up that freezer door. I look. Not only was the slice of Dairy Queen cake gone, somebody left an empty container in the freezer.
Yeah.
I've never lost my mind more. I'm like, I don't even care about the fact I didn't get cake. I'm so angry that you guys were so lazy that nobody threw out the empty giant container.
Wasn't it the birthday girl?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, because
no.
I was going to say, she's earned that last piece of cake.
I'm the guy who paid for it.
Yeah,
so.
It's her birthday.
Tom, where do you fall on that? Who gets the last piece of cake?
Me.
See?
The birthday girl.
Well, but Dairy Queen cake is a whole different
thing. Yeah, there you
go. All rules are off.
Oh, I love Dairy Queen. Love it. Always have, always will.
Yeah, it's
especially
so good.
Chocolate cones. Love chocolate Dairy Queen cones. Phenomenal.
Found out they got rid of the cherry dip.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. I love that
Goddamn
stuff.
Goddamn Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Typical.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama.
I want my change back.
Warren Buffett does own Dairy Queen now, doesn't he?
Does he?
I'm pretty sure he does, yeah.
Yep.
Not Obama. Warren Buffett. Obama owns about $1 billion in cash, though. I love how all these presidents now, they become president. Donald Trump did it. Obama did it. So both sides did it. I'm going to become president and write 7 books while I'm the president. It's like, really? You're going to cash in, are you?
Don't
Good
worry.
For you.
They're not actually writing them, so don't worry
I
about
understand
it.
That, but they are cashing in big time. No, I've never read a book written by a president, ever.
I would never.
Who cares?
The closest I got was reading Mariah Carey's book.
Oh, yeah, that's close to the presidency right there. Absolutely. No question about it. So I have to ask you a question. Something just popped up on my screen. What the hell happened to Jamie Foxx? He went blind now? Is that correct?
I've heard 7 trillion different things about
What,
and the theory was at first that he had a stroke.
Right.
I don't know that anything is verifiable with this situation, as near as I can tell.
Did he go blind, though? So nobody knows that. Because it says here, no, he did not go blind from a COVID shot. Well, who thought he did?
Well, there were people that were speculating that maybe the vaccine may have had something to do with this, because they are seeing a spike in strokes over the last 18 months to two years.
Oh, there you go.
So maybe, but I don't know.
And here's the other headline, and we just already on the Tom Bernard Show said, don't waste your time. Masks return as Canadian wildfire smoke moves south. Those masks are not going to do anything for you. Get a surgical mask or it's not going to work. Right?
Yeah. There, people in New York are trying to wear them or something. But yeah, that do you see some of those videos of like the Brooklyn Bridge and crap yesterday? I mean, that's legit.
It is. I mean, that is some thick-ass smoke, man. That smoke is thick. You know, we had a little here, about a month ago? We had a little bit of smoke in the air, but it wasn't anywhere near that much. Jesus.
No. And there's been you could see a little tinge in the sky, but nothing that bad. Although the other morning, was it Monday morning, I think we had, for the first time, what I could tell, you could actually see the smoke layer kind of like from our sky cams, like stuck between the clouds and the ground. Yeah. And like, it was like brown, like it looked like in New York the other day, but obviously nothing. And we don't have the amount of cars on the road. And it's just it's a goulash of different contaminants in the air that sort of makes it that way.
Yeah, I could see that to be true. No doubt about it. So, yeah, that's really unfortunate. I can't even imagine being in New York when it's that smoky. My God.
I don't know. I've hung out in a lot of casinos.
Oh, you got back in the day, man.
Yeah.
Woo!
I used to call it bingo at a VFW. I've been in the smoke.
Oh, yeah, you've been in there.
Yep.
No doubt about it. No, you know what? Actually, I have a friend. You guys know anybody that smokes cigarettes?
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do they want to quit?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I can ask. Why don't they want to quit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody asked me to help somebody quit, so should I do that?
Yeah, sure.
Chris goes, I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
It's a big ask. Like,
yeah, but they shouldn't be smoking, man. It's not good for you.
Well, that might be true, but I know I have got a couple friends who smoke, and they know it's not good for them. They stop or they'll cut way off from time to time, and they'll vape instead of actually having real cigarettes. But at the end of the day, they know it's bad for them, and they're the ones who decide whether or not they do it. And you get involved in it, then you're like, somehow you're like being blamed for not helping diffuse the situation.
Mm-hmm. I quit smoking when I was 12. I started smoking when I was 11. I quit smoking when I was 21. You know why I quit smoking? Not kidding you.
Why?
Because a friend of mine's father was a smoker, went over to his house, and his dad would look like a mummy, right? Uh-huh. He's literally looking like a mummy. They had to take the entire left side of his jaw off. God, was that not a good look? And then you see him from then on and be going, how you doing, Tommy? Oh, God, it was sad.
Did they at that time attribute it to smoking?
Oh, yeah.
They did? Wow.
It was definitely smoking.
That's impressive.
This whole thing was gone. Like from here over. His lower jaw, not his upper jaw. So eventually, I assume eventually they'd put like a bear trap in there or something so you'd have a jaw so you could eat. I mean, he couldn't even eat for a while.
I was always scared by the guys who had that thing on there.
I was down there yesterday talking to him.
Yeah, that thing always freaked me out. And I'm like,
I had everything going for me.
Yeah.
I had a beautiful ranch in Montana.
You know what just struck me when you were doing that? Wouldn't it be great if you went to one of those karaoke nights and some guy with one of those got up there? I want to hold your hand. They start singing along with their... What's it called? What's it called? A Voxalux or Electrolux or what the hell is it called?
I don't know.
There's a name for it.
A hole in your neck is whatever we all called it.
Oh, I used to like it when people used to smoke through the hole in their neck.
Oh, sure.
I've seen that. Yeah. Got the big brown stain right here on their neck, and they're like...
Sucking them in,
Do you know how many times in the hospital somebody will come in with extreme burn marks or a circle around their mouth? Because they're on oxygen, they're not supposed to be smoking, and they do both still. And they do that ventilator size.
Murphy, are you still in my pen? Why are you still in my pen?
He's so bored with us, by the way.
He really is bored. He's absolutely like, oh, God.
I brought my golden retriever in today.
Show the baby boy.
He's definitely.
Oh, look at him.
He's bored.
Like, he's not. I mean, if we reflect on that, we're not very interesting to him.
Well, that's good to know for the downloads. That's great to hear.
That golden retrievers are not They're our demographic. Not
the, I yeah. wanted all the golden retrievers.
Don't worry. He doesn't have a phone, so he doesn't count anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Can we remember this the next time Frank Vassalero brings his dogs in?
To yeah.
Be like, this is how a dog should act when in a podcasting studio. Not friggin' losing your mind, Frank.
How about Judy? Judy behaves when he comes in.
Yeah,
Judy. Dude. God, what a squirrel that dog is. I love that dog.
I love that dog.
Beauty. So, Chris, I was just trying to think. So, I'm looking at the news and the headlines. You know, it's Jamie Foxx. Pat Robertson died at 93. I told him to die at 92.5, but then I got fired. So, I said, go ahead and die at 93. It's fine now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of really good news. Biden vetoes a bill to block student loan forgiveness. So what does he want to do? I don't even know what the hell that. What do you mean student loan forgiveness? What does the president have to do with that?
They ever since COVID came into place, they were letting people kick their student loans down. But I think part of the budget deal that they reached would bring that to an end, and I believe. President Biden had been extending it. And I think they put a stop date on that now. And so maybe they're going back to try to change that.
So what does it mean? Who's paying what? And was it trillions of dollars or what are we talking about here?
Well, and they're also paying back a certain amount of money of people's student loans too, which was another part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that changed in this particular legislation. But I do think when the payback was supposed to start for people, I think that may have changed. But it's always been about as clear as mud as to how that whole thing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was asking. Why I asked you, because I don't understand what the hell are you even talking about. I mean, I know some people has got several hundred, like I know a doctor, he just became a doctor, as a matter of fact, and he's got tons of debt because going to medical school is not cheap. And no doubt about that.
Definitely not.
I mean, the only problem I have with that is, and I'm not saying it is this situation, but it appears to me when a president of the United States does that, I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican, when they do something like that, it looks to me like they're just trying to buy your vote. That's all it looks like to me.
I can't disagree with that. And it's young people too, right? So it's like the people who you want. It's a group of people who you want to try to have on your side. And I don't know if it's politically motivated, but it certainly, it feels like it could be. That's for sure.
The border crossing, that's all about buying your vote. This is all about buying. It's all about keeping me in power now. Well, it always has been, though, I suppose.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. They're taking our money to buy people's votes. I understand college is way damn too expensive. What the government should have done instead of paying back loans, they should have stepped in decades ago and said, you cannot charge that much for a kid to go to college. I mean, some of these colleges are now $80,000 a year.
It's ridiculous.
Holy Christ.
In fact, U of M's had a meeting. It started at 8:00 this morning. The Board of Regents is trying to raise tuition at the Minneapolis and Rochester campuses another 3.5%.
Why? They've all got billions of dollars in the bank.
They have to say they have to keep up with the pace of inflation and pay their workers more and yada, yada, yada.
Brittany, will you look up and see how much Harvard has in the bank? I guarantee you it's
We looked this up the other day. Wasn't it like
50
billions?
Billion, right?
It was billions of dollars. So they got billions of dollars, but somehow you got to pay more. Okay, I get it. That's disgusting. People in their goddamn money grubbing. I got to stop saying goddamn. I hate it when people say that.
I said it twice
this morning.
You hate it?
I don't like that. Well, goddamn, because my mother didn't like it.
I love saying Jesus Christ.
Well, Jesus Palomino. That's a good one.
I know it's like blasphemy.
How about Jesus H. Christ?
Yeah,
that one's in there.
And like, goddamn, I love that. I don't know.
You know what I think about these Spanish kids in my neighborhood? Because they used to just, Jesus Cristo. I'm like, what? So I went with Jesus Cristo for a while because it sounded a lot better, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. It does sound better.
Snazzy, kind of. So what do you got? Harvard.
Oh, $50.9
billion. $50.9 billion, and they're raising tuition. This has got us. The money grubbing is so disgusting. It's unbelievable. But let's move on to another more positive subject, shall we?
Yeah.
You want some more money grubbing?
Yes, let's go with that.
I got Uncle Tommy fired up now. Let's go.
You do. I'm all fired up.
The state of Minnesota has opened up the possibility again to installing red light cameras everywhere.
Really? For what reason?
To make money.
Oh, to go for speed and light runners.
I mean, they're
going
to say it's to deter speeding, but you know how much I've been tagged several times traveling through Iowa. I won't make the mistake again, but it's all money. Those cameras are generating millions and millions and millions of dollars because people are unsuspecting and they get you. I mean, I'm not advocating driving against, higher than the speed limit.
Yes, I understand.
But
that's so funny. I've been pulled over twice in the last about 20 years. One time I got a ticket and the other time I didn't. And both times I could tell the guy who gave me the ticket in the first place hated my morning show at KQ. And the guy who didn't give me the ticket loved the morning show at KQ. It was all based on that morning show. I got a ticket because I hosted that horrible show that he hated.
It ain't going to help you if a computer catches you because if
no,
computer
right.
does it, like you get the...
Yeah. Exactly.
There's no sweet talking. There's no like looking for the cop sitting on the side of the road.
Right.
It's the cameras are everywhere and they'll get you.
So how many... are there of those, and how are we going to pay for that?
It was something that was done in Minneapolis a number of years ago for a while.
I remember that.
They stopped doing it. There was a lot of disputable tickets, and I got the sense it wasn't worth the time and trouble that for mm-hmm. them to go through it. But the legislature in this last session approved like a committee or a working group to study it, which basically means they're considering it again.
Mm-hmm.
And because the technology is gone, it's developed a certain amount since when they had them in place in Minneapolis. They're better. They're more accurate. They're also trying to figure out the appeals process and how that would work. So, I mean, nothing's solidified yet, but it's definitely going to be something that's on the radar screen.
So it's all about money. This is not about law enforcement. This is about money.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I don't know the answer to that, but.
Do we need much stronger leadership in this country? And I'm talking about both parties. Here's an example. Matter of fact, this just popped up.
Yeah.
Republican revolt brings House to a standstill. Why don't we serve the people there? What do you think? Why don't we serve the people who pay your salary, who pay all the bills, and because you don't agree with your leader, you're going to have a Republican revolt now. The Democrats do it, the Republicans do it, and we have to pay for all of it. It's disgusting. Wouldn't you agree?
It's that budget deal that nobody was happy, or debt ceiling deal.
Debt ceiling, yeah.
It's said a billion times, nobody was happy with what came out of it, and... I guess now that they're really getting through some of the fine print, there's a lot of detail there that some of the conservative Republicans are really, taking issue with, and they feel like McCarthy folded and gave in. And so, yeah, there's...
How about this? I don't like the fact that we're $32 trillion in debt because of the same people that are bitching about this. You people need to get your head out of your ass and do your job. $32 trillion. Are we ever going to recover from that? Can we?
How?
I don't see how.
I have such a hard time believing anybody when they talk about this $1 trillion of federal debt, and then every state has a surplus of like $17 billion. I'm like, how is this possible?
Well, they had to spend that on other things, or we couldn't have that back either.
Oh, man. Your property taxes are through the goddamn roof right now.
They are.
They're taking more and more of our cash, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh, by the way, they're going to install red light cameras so that you get more money taken away from you.
Oh.
You bastards, knock it off.
The other day we got an alert from some Eden Prairie group or whatever. It was like, don't worry, we bought 4 more drones. And we're like, what?
Yeah.
They're going to drone you, pull you over in a drone?
We've got like a horde of drones just hovering somewhere in Eden Prairie. Like, what are they doing?
Do you think the people ever will come together and stand up and go, look, Republicans, Democrats, mayor, president, whoever you are, shut the hell up and support the people. Do your job for once. Have they ever done their... Did George Washington do his job as president? I don't even know.
Well, I don't know, but there wasn't Twitter and Facebook and everything else to bitch about it back then.
Yeah.
You just sat around drinking some ale around the old ye old campfire and was bitched about the president at that time.
Yeah. The problem is they do it the wrong way, because when like the people get together and try it, that's what January 6th happens. It's like you guys had no plan at all whatsoever. So if we had some people like, I don't know, let's get some autistic kids who could probably plan this out. And then we can all come together and then figure out a way to do it properly instead of just, you know, throwing paint up against the wall and being like, well, something's going to eventually stick.
I still love that. And again, they should never have. And I said it, I was very, very clear on January 6th. They should have never done what they did. But I love how they call that the Capitol riot. But burning the entire country down was unrest.
Yeah.
You people are so phony. It's unbelievable.
That is called democracy.
Yeah, it's democracy to burn your city down.
But when you do it at the Capitol, all of a sudden it's an insurrection. Okay.
Well, they took my personal stuff. Now you got to go to jail.
Yeah.
Look, don't be doing that. How about that? Let's not charge the Capitol. Let's not burn down every damn place in the United States. I'm telling you, because I spent so much time in that neighborhood, because the Stanley family, I met them, went to Brown Institute down there on Lake Street. When I go down Lake Street now, I literally tear up. Because I loved Lake Street when I was a kid, teenager, young man, all the rest of it. Those buildings, beautiful architecture, just destroyed. And nobody ever talks about that. They should be talking about burning the Capitol, you know, trying to burn the Capitol, or, you know, the riot at the Capitol. They should absolutely be talking about that. But why don't they talk about the other things that other people did? I don't get it.
Yeah, you can look around all. I mean, you look around. Lake Street's one example.
Oh,
you can look around all around the city, and there's still, you know, lots of scars left. That's for sure.
There are indeed, and it's all because of cult behavior. I said it before, and I'll say it again. It's all cult bullshit now, all of it.
Hey, well, luckily the government will be making so much money off those red light cameras they install.
Exactly.
Can freaking rebuild everything.
Out of your pocket.
I thought they were going to pay for U.S. Bank Stadium first.
All right, we got to go, baby boy.
All right, you guys, have a good... Oh, it's not a weekend. Have a good rest of your day.
I thought it was Friday today, too, Chris. I don't know
why. Every day's a Friday when you love your job as much as I do.
True that. Also,
touchdown.
Great-looking shirt today, Chris.
Yeah,
thank you.
Did you get that from Gilligan?
Yes.
Thanks, pal. Right. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We got to take a break. Be right back in a couple minutes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just now approaching the end of my 60-day weight loss program with MNFatLoss.com. I've lost over 25 pounds. 26 is over 25. I don't know if you know that or not.
Mm-hmm.
I feel fantastic, too. That's why I'm in such a good mood. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Getting around's a lot easier. My clothes fit better, and there just really isn't a downside to losing the weight. You know that. Now I'll be going to the maintenance phase of the MNFatLoss.com program, adding in a few more food choices to the mix. That's all you do. I've loved the program so much that I'm planning to go back to the weight loss program. I plan on losing another 25 or so because I want to get down probably around 215, 220, something like that, which is pretty damn low for me. You'll absolutely be able to lose weight like I've done and still enjoy the foods you love this summer, and that part is absolutely true, by the way. If you want to find out the secret to losing 20 to 30 pounds in just 8 weeks, just like I'm doing, and I did, that's about a pound of fat every day, as a matter of fact. No exercise required. To schedule your free consultation, go to mnfatloss.com. That is mnfatloss.com. Results may vary. Be sure to tell the team at mnfatloss.com that Tom Bernard sent you.
The new Tom Bernard Morning Show is proud to have partners like Bradshaw & Bryant, MyPillow, and North American Banking Company founder, chairman, and president, Mike Bilski.
I've advertised on Tom's show for years, and the reason is simple. My business is recognized because of the ads, and that recognition has created growth. What business doesn't want to grow? I highly recommend the Tom Bernard Morning Show for your advertising.
Grow results for your business by partnering with the Tom Bernard Morning Show. Visit TomBernardShow.com, keyword partner.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show Podcast.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, that Bob's Burgers actor. I don't know. Do you know who that is? They're talking about Bob's Burgers actor arrested on Capitol riot charges.
Oh, really?
Who the hell is that now?
You know, I don't know. I'm a big fan of the show, but I'm not sure who that is. Look it up.
I have no idea who that is because I can't really see his. They got a picture of him on Newser. God, it's so funny. You look at the news now, and it's literally Biden, Trump, Pence, you got McCarthy. Every story is about a politician. That's all we're talking about. Well, Pat Robertson died. That part's in there. And Fox, Jamie Foxx is blind. So is he permanently blind? Does anybody know?
I don't know. I looked into it, and everything I see looks like that he says that they really made it straight that a representative said that the set the record straight that it was not from the COVID-19
right.
vaccine.
Right.
So that seems to be leading the headlines with that today.
So does that mean he actually is blind, though?
I don't know.
They said it didn't come from that, but is he actually blind? Because it doesn't. Maybe I'll click on it and see if there's
a
any
representative for Jamie Foxx told NBC News that the recent conspiracies connected to the recent hospitalizations about COVID-19 because of your stems, who said that developed the blood clot after receiving. Okay, I'm not seeing where they're. I don't know if they're really telling him what happened or if he is blind.
Yeah, I don't. I can't find it. I try to find. Is he blind or not?
Well, I think they're really trying to keep it close to the vest.
Yeah.
They don't want to put out too much information because I don't think they know exactly. But
maybe.
Usually by now, if it was a stroke, that they could come out with something that was like, hey, this is what happened, but they have said nothing about this. And he continues to be in a facility, which is also a really bad sign that it's been going on this long. So,
Yeah, and Rudy's just spot on. They won't even say what it is. They say medical complication. Or they'll say, they're not even admitting that he's paralyzed and blind. That was, like, leaked. And the medical, actual information is really scarce about what it is.
Yeah, it's really too bad. He's a pretty damn good actor, I think, anyway.
Great. One of the best.
What are you, Mr. Colorful now? Comes in as this colorful shirt, Gelfand, looking all fashionable.
Yeah, well, for me.
No, that's a plenty nice shirt. Where'd you get that?
I'm guessing it's probably from the Target fall collection.
Because you're the only Jew I've ever met that wears a lumberjack shirt.
Oh, you should tell him about the list of delis. He's going to be pissed.
Oh, Gelfand, you're not going to like this.
No. Nope.
I'm here to tell you.
I think I know where you're going.
They released a list of the favorite delis in Minnesota. Did you see it?
I've been
Mike.
Laughing for the last 15 minutes.
Mike.
I saw it. Those are delis?
Exactly. Like, what are you talking about?
I thought that was wonderful. Yeah, there's four delis. There's never been a Jew in any of them. You know, it's like being on the West Bank on a Friday night, you know. They're all gone. They're somewhere else. I have no argument that they're good places.
That's fine. Yeah. They are. They're good places.
I've eaten at a couple of them, and I really enjoyed them.
But how do you ignore Crossroads and Cecil's?
Well, that's the thing. I figured
like,
Cecil's
what?
Would be number one. But
that's what I thought.
Crossroads, Crossroads is a very good place.
Absolutely it is.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be one and two.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
I got nothing against Kramarczyk's.
No,
it's great.
It's great.
No doubt about it.
Yep.
Marty's, I've never eaten at Marty's, Del. I got to get over there.
Well, that was what? Where was that? Was that the one in Brooklyn Center?
Northeast.
Northeast. Okay, because I know that Emily's, the Lebanese place.
That's
good. It's a little corner place
it
in the
is.
Northeast, and I've eaten there. Yeah, it's nice.
Used to be a big listener to the KQ Morning Show.
Yeah?
She was, yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
No, she was a huge listener.
Yeah, I've eaten there many times.
Oh, but to leave off Cecil's and Crossroads, how?
It's so funny because I opened that up this morning and I was like, oh, I'll find Cecil's on this list. That was the first thing I was going to go look. And when it didn't have it, I was like, oh, Tom and Gelfand are going to be pissed.
You know, one thing I've noticed about the Strib It's not the sort of thing I look for. It actually isn't, but I don't think there's a brother working there. One of my brothers.
Yeah, the brother with a J.
I think they're totally ethnically cleansed. I hope I'm wrong about that.
I hope you're wrong about that too. That could be a very nasty outcome.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, if you look at good newspapers, generally there's a few brothers there.
Look, let me tell you something. You take out food from Cecil's or Crossroads and don't tell me that, first of all, if you eat their matzo ball soup alone, that if that's all I ever got, I'd be fine.
Yeah, it's great.
It's phenomenal. And to not even make the list, it just, and it does, look, it's based on the one writer's opinion.
Yeah.
But I don't really understand how you wouldn't know about Crossroads and Cecil's.
It's, I mean, that's the standard. And like, that's
it is. Yeah.
I was telling Tom earlier, the first time I ever went was with you. You were like, all right, we got to go to this place. This is where you have to go. This is the standard. And that's always been that for me.
And of course, there is video. It may be, you may be able to find it on YouTube. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I know.
She goes, you know.
Brittany, enjoying her first true delicatessen meal.
Was that at your house?
No, that was at, what was the name of the place? Mort's.
Mort's Deli,
well, Mort's,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. No, it's
yeah, Mort's
closed
used
now,
to,
yeah.
You know, they used to advertise.
There's a lot of video
and over. So we did a video. We went over to Mort's, since they were sponsors, and and I did sort of I guess it was a tutorial. On how your Gentiles could enjoy delicatessen food. And Brittany, of course, you know, she was great because this was, I think, Brittany hadn't had a lot of experience eating delicatessen food.
Shocking. Oh, what?
And, shocking.
And watching her eat was, I mean, for me, you know, like sort of a father figure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just warmed my heart to see her enjoying that food.
Well, I understand that. Now, I saved this specifically for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've been waiting to get to it for 2 hours almost now, but I saved it. I got to wait till Gelfano gets here. You know that some guy thought his name was M. Howard Gelfano, didn't you?
No.
That was like my first byline at the Minneapolis Tribune. McHoward Gelfano.
McHoward Gelfano, that's what it was. McHoward Gelfano.
Sounds about right.
I love that so much.
I wish I'd saved that, you know.
Right?
You ever met a McHoward? Because I haven't.
No, I think they're in a very small supply there. I think you'd have to go to all continents to search
Scotland.
For one. Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, if I look on, you know, one of those ancestry type sites,
yes.
You know, and I look and it's like... it's like, you know, grandfather from Russia, great-grandfather from Russia, great-great-grandfather from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need any more than that.
No, you're right.
Yeah, because everybody does that, and they're thinking, oh, God, I wonder, you know, maybe I'm I can trace back to an Ethiopian prince, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they always think that.
Right.
Yeah, they
do. I got nothing like that.
No,
everybody is 1/32nd Indian, of course. We know that.
Well, yeah, we know that now, especially if they're running for office.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Then they definitely are. Okay, there are 7 comments about this article that appears in the Star Tribune about the top delis in the Twin Cities. They do not mention Crossroads or Cecil's. We think that's a massive mistake. I have not seen the comments yet. Do you think they'll be positive or negative?
Well, most comments, I think, are negative.
Yes, most of them are.
But in this case...
I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I don't know if there'll be... I'd like to think that the Anti-Defamation League would comment.
Come on, take
but they
over.
Probably won't.
Okay, here we go. First comment says, this is from Let Me Tell You.
Let me tell you.
Northeast Minneapolis is well represented here. Northeast Minneapolis, the home of the Jew, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question about it.
Maybe a few Jewish policemen.
Yeah, that'd be about it. MN Viewer, you write a column on delis in the Twin Cities and omit Cecil's in St. Paul, perhaps the only real New York-style deli in these parts. Such a glaring miss calls into question your gastronomic credentials.
Right on.
Dang.
And whether any of your recommendations merit a visit at all. I love MN Viewer.
Yes.
Fast Speed, I love that most of these are in Northeast Minneapolis. Joanne 0402, Emily's is one of the first places I dined when I moved here in the late 1970s. It was always my first stop every time I visited the Twin Cities while I was away for nearly 30 years. It's still my favorite. Oh, yeah, I love Emily's. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Seawell Joe, Crossroads Delicatessen is also delicious. See, our choices come up with the people.
Yeah.
Crossroads Delicatessen is also delicious. 2795 Hedberg Drive, Minnetonka, off Hopkins Crossroad and Cedar Lake Road. I love the wild rice casserole and the strawberry chicken salad. He picked the two least Jewish things to eat.
That's exactly what I was
thinking. That's hilarious. Like, they're
no, no mention of corned beef or matzo ball soup. I always get the big bowl of matzo ball soup there.
And it closes with two things. Skip Mock says, what? No Cecil's. And Blazer Blah says, one word, Cecil's. Yep. So Crossroads and Cecil's do come up several times.
Yeah.
And they should.
Get the Anti-Defamation League on this one. Come on.
I agree. I agree.
There's I hope no they'll put out a statement this afternoon.
No doubt about it. They should put out a statement. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So I'm glad to see that you agree with the situation that these horrible human beings.
No, I looked at the headline and I thought, you know, this is going to be fun. It's the first thing I looked at when I got up today.
Okay, the guy who wrote the article's name is John Cheng. John?
Probably not one of my brothers, no.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not a Jew. That's no. Probably true.
No. I mean, not that you have to be one. I'm just thinking maybe somewhere, you know, I was going to say in the building, but of course no one's in the building itself.
You know what's so great? Mike Gelfand names the best Asian restaurants in Minnesota.
Well, but
although Jews love Asian food, that's the problem.
Yeah. Number one, P.F. Chang's.
Yeah. I do actually like P.F. Chang's. Those lettuce wraps are really good.
Sure.
Well, you got to, I mean, the walk in the park.
That's, yeah, walk in the park.
Walk in the park is so good.
That is number one for me.
Nobody will ever top Nankin, though.
Well, no. That was a culture.
Owned by Jews, by the way.
Yes, Golden family.
The Golden family.
You know, my friend Dick Golden.
Sure.
That was that was his
Golden.
Uncle who ran the place.
I just saw Richard about 2 weeks ago. I love that guy.
Oh, yeah.
God, I think the world of him.
Isn't he something?
Yep. Wonderful guy.
And Dick's father, who I was very familiar with because his father had the scrapyard, the auto scrapyard.
Yeah, yep, I remember that.
Yeah, you know, down in the Poison Well site.
Well, yeah, Washington Avenue, right?
Well, no, this one was in St. Louis Park.
Oh, it was in St. Louis
Golden,
Park.
Golden Auto.
Oh, over by the ballpark.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
And I'd go over there, like, you know, I always had to drive my dad's hand-me-down cars. And, of course, in those days, they were all crap.
Sure.
So I'd say, oh man, yeah, you know, I'd go over to my local mechanic, just down this, just a couple blocks away, and I'd say, what's going on here? And he'd say, it's the alternator. And I'd say, oh man, how much is that going to cost? He'd say, well, you know, it's going to cost $399 plus labor. But he said, that car isn't going to make it 5,000 miles.
Let it go.
He said, you know, so I just go over to Golden Auto. So I'd go over to Golden Auto, and yep. I'd tell Dick's dad, I'd say, I need an alternator for my, you know, 1962 Chevy.
Sure.
And he'd say, well, let me see what we got. And he'd disappear into the scrapyard, you know, and he'd come back about 5 minutes later, panting with grease all over his hands and his face. And he'd say, yeah, this should do the job. And he said, it looks like it'll last for a while. And I'd say, great. Yeah, I'd say, how much does it cost? And he'd say, $6.30.
From $400 down to $6.
Yeah, okay. And there was no blue book or anything.
I
you know?
Love it.
So I'd give him the $6.30 cash only.
You're making me sad because I'm looking back on Washington Avenue, Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love that. Great memories, those scrap yards down there, the auto parts stores. One of the scrapyards is still there, I think.
I think it is. Well, that's the one that's right across from where Irv's used to be.
Correct.
Right. You know, whenever I did the remotes from Irv's at 8 a.m. when they opened, there'd always be guys coming over from the scrapyard. They had just brought in a bunch of scrap.
Yep.
And so they got a check for, you know, like $70.40. Irv's would cash the check. They'd cash the check there. And, you know, the guys would spend a happy day there and then probably stumble into the nearest motel.
Sure.
Spend the night. You know, it's a night on the town for these guys.
This is the Tom Bernard Morning Show. The Tom Bernard Morning Show. Streamed every morning on the Tom Bernard Show app and anytime on demand wherever you get your podcasts.